Hello, my name is John Hartman, and I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship, and I listen to it while enjoying a nice, hot cup of coffee, because coffee in the Word, well, nothing beats that.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and our study in Luke chapter 2, covering verses 21 through 24, titled, Jesus, Born Under Mosaic Law. And we will cover some important background information from the Old Testament, reminding us that Jesus was born, raised, and crucified while Israel was still under the Mosaic Law. This gives us context, and it helps us understand what we're reading. However, as is the case so often when we have audio-video problems, it can take some time to work out the kinks, and the audio quality of this study is low quality due to a malfunction with the lapel mic. So what you're hearing is what the handheld mic picked up from a few feet away from the pulpit. So we apologize for this and assure you that the audio problem should be taken care of in future studies. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our attention by email. Send those to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can send letters along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry. Address to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Again, that's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com. Just use the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen. Or if you're on your mobile device, bbfohio.com, and use the drop-down menu. Now we begin our study in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, titled, Jesus, Born Under Mosaic Law. This is part 1 of 2.
Amen. Current events update. Just real quick, I want to give you a couple of bits of information. Current events as of August 2019. This is subject to change because businesses change hands, change ownership, and that sort of thing. But most of us know these two companies are commendable, and that is Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A. And now they are Christian friendly. And just a FYI, Chick-fil-A, the original owner made his children promise it. They would never open on Sunday, and they'd never go public and fall in the hands of people who would change that. And that's because he wants people in church. And he wants to give his workers a day off and give them a day to go to church. So there are also other Christian-friendly businesses we don't really talk about much. And here's some more to be mindful of. And one is Aunt Anne's or Auntie Anne's. Auntie Anne's. I hear it pronounced both ways. I love this place, and I hardly ever get there.
What is it?
With Polaris. They're in malls. Soft pretzels. And when you go into a mall, it's either Cinnabon or this restaurant that makes it smell like heaven.
Amen.
But then you look at the price tags, and you realize, I'm not in heaven. It'd be free in heaven. I think that's what manna tastes like. Soft pretzels. Then there's also Interstate Batteries.
Yeah,
didn't know that. I found that out recently. And Christian Friendly. Also Lowe's. Lowe's. You may not be aware that Home Depot gives millions of dollars to the sodomites to try to fight you every year. And Meijer. You may not know that Kroger is pro-sodomite and giving millions of dollars to fight you. But Myers gets an F rating from the sodomites because they won't bow to them. So those are some. Now, also, I want to say this. Please do not call them Christian businesses. People are Christians. Businesses are not. The reason is because, as I said, some of these, Chick-fil-A isn't one of them for the foreseeable future, but some of these can be sold and fall into other hands and then suddenly join the sodomite movement. Because they're not Christian. They're Christian friendly. Excuse me?
Loads of bubbles are traded.
Yeah, and not all of them are family owned, but they are just Lowe's and Meijer score very low on the gay radar of good businesses.
Yeah, they just happen to be.
Lowe's has taken a position that we are not going to join this sodomite, they call it LGBT stuff, and offend all our other customers. And they're saying, we're not anti-LGBT. Come on in, homos. That's the point is that these are that's why I say they're Christian friendly businesses. They're not funding those who hate you. See? Yes, Tracy? Gillette. They came out with this whole trans thing, and estimates are into the billions that they lost, and now they've come out with a new manly ad. It's like, too late.
Gillette's on my Procter & Gamble, right?
Yeah, Procter & Gamble across the board if you can avoid them. Yeah, right?
You said buyers is like
no, they're just like, we're talking neutral.
Neutral.
Yeah.
And Kroger's is not.
Hey, if you want to do that, you can do that. That's fine. But you're not hurting us by working for one of those places.
Oh no.
I'm semi-doing.
But if I'm a Kroger and they got a clearance or something, I'm not above buying that either. But most all of our business goes to Meijer. We've gone to Kroger a few times.
The first time I think it's owned by Meijer.
Jenny?
Any idea about Walmart?
Walmart was under Sam Walton was a great business when it came to Christians, although there were problems with some of the way that the pay and all that. Now Walmart's becoming more and more. Ellen is one of their spokespersons. If that tells you anything. So since Sam Walton died, it's gone.
It's China Mart now.
Yeah, China Mart.
Yeah.
And again, we've gone to Walmart when we have to have something, but most of our business, Meijer's sells most of the things Walmart does, and then I get stuff on eBay. So our response to Christians who scoff and reply with, blah, 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 I'm going to go to Kroger and Home Depot, and I don't care what you think. It's free country, but sodomites are more committed to their cause than you are to yours.
That's
the point. The sodomites all had a list of businesses that are pro-sodomite, and they give them their business. And this lukewarm generation of Christians is like, And I even know some good Bible-believing Christians who have that attitude. Otherwise, they're on fire for the Lord, but they just have that attitude. And I said, well, the queers are better queers than you are a Christian. And I think it's going to be brought up when you stand before the Lord. He's going to say to me, Christians of the past were burnt at the stake, and you're acting like it's, just so difficult to drive 2 more miles down the road. But again, I'm not walking around looking at everything. If you come in with a Walmart bag, I'm not going to chew you out or anything. Because number one, they make good plastic bags. Number two, if there wasn't anything else, if you didn't have an option, I'll do the same thing. But number three is, it's not me I'm wanting you to impress. I'm not asking you to impress me. This is between you and the Lord. And I just personally want to do everything I can for the cause of righteousness. I want to serve the Lord. Amen? So there you are. Take it or leave it. That's the information. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You might want to take that with you, too. Amen? We already prayed. All right, we're in Luke chapter 2. We're going to get into a few verses that, as I was discussing this with Martha and company at her house yesterday, we were talking a little bit about it, that I've been through studies where guys just read past these and don't really talk about them. But they have some very interesting stuff, and I think things for us in here in Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 21. We're going to read through verse 24, and I'm going to ask you to join in the even verses with me. Verse 21 says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Amen? Now, most of the misinterpretation of Luke's gospel is due to ignoring this context. And so, in this context, as we're reading, we notice that we're still under Mosaic law. Do you notice that? As you're reading, this is still under Mosaic law. So we all have friends and family who will rip verses out of Luke, Matthew, Mark, and John, and they'll just fling them out there. And you're like, wait a minute, that's not... And they'll say, well, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, and like, yes, he is, but you're abusing his book. God's the same, but his word is to be rightly divided. And so if you pay attention to the context, you're still under Mosaic law here. And so you've got to keep that in mind all the way through to the end. All the way through. So that's why verse 21 starts with words, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child." Why were they doing that? Well, that explains what we're reading when it comes to Jesus' circumcision and Mary's offer at the temple. They are still under law. There's still a temple in Jerusalem. They still have to offer the sacrifice. You even will read later where Jesus will heal people and say, now go down to the temple and offer the offering that Moses prescribed or commanded. Why? Because they're still under law. It's not that Jesus was wrong when he said this or that. It's that he wasn't talking to you. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, Tracy be downstairs, look at Dre and say, hey, go up next to my purse. I left a $10 bill down there. Can you go and get that? And you can have that. And that'll get you through the week here. Because I told you I'd give you some money for what you did for me yesterday. And then somebody else here, Tracy, saying that. Say, oh, okay. And you walk up and grab the tin and take it. And then Drake comes up and says, wait a minute, where's my tin? And they go, what? Go down to Tracy. That tin was gone. And then somebody says, oh, I got it. Well, could I have it? Oh, I guess. But it was just, I heard her say, go upstairs and get it. She wasn't talking to you. She's talking to Dre. You say, that's crazy. That's exactly crazy. Yeah, that's what Christians do all the time to the Bible. They take stuff that isn't talking to them. Don't worry about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't go out and build an ark unless you can have. Amen? Don't offer animal sacrifice. And when it comes to tithing, for example, it's not a law. You give as a cheerful giver. You give money to the Lord's work. Tithing is a good standard that predates the law. But it's not a law.
Amen.
And that's why I don't get up here and harp on it and check your bank accounts and all that kind of thing like the Mormon Church does their members, by the way. Why? Because it's not a law. It's between you and the Lord. And if you don't give the way you ought to, that's between you and the Lord. I can just tell you what the Bible says about these things. You don't have to come to church every week. You don't have to. But if you don't, it's your loss. And you're not pleasing the Lord if you don't have a good excuse. Now, there's times where we have things going on. Stuff happens. Kids get sick. All that kind of thing. And that's why I don't call you up and say, knock on your door or call you later. Where were you? I mean, that's how people feel. It's like psycho. I just described for you most fundamentalist churches today. If you miss a Sunday, they're on the phone, they're sending you little postcards, or they're busy.
Where were you?
I don't do that. Why? Because if you don't choose to attend church when you ought to be with us, the Bible says on the first day of the week, Christians join together every week here. Now, you got a good excuse for being gone? It's between you and the Lord. And now, if you miss several weeks in a row, we're going to check on it just to make sure you didn't drop dead. We didn't know about it. And, you know, Steve and Ryan went here last week. And so Jenny called the next day to make sure they didn't drop dead. And then there's been times where the kids get sick. There's been times things happen when I, as a pastor, you know, had to go to church all by myself. And I'd have people come up with me. Where's your family? None of your business. You know? Where's my family? I know where my family is. Now, it's one thing to say, now, is everything okay? No. Yeah. And I know some of you are thinking, well, I've asked them that question before. I'm not talking about you. We don't see that here. I haven't seen that kind of thing here. And if you feel like someone's harassing you, you let me know and I'll have a talk with them. But I don't want that spirit of harassment here. Why? Because it's between you and the Lord. Now, that's the difference between what we're reading here and what you experienced. Because here, man, they had rules, laws. They had to do it. Or, man, there was trouble. And that's why later on in Luke we're told, in Luke 16:16, actually it's part B, I believe, the law and the prophets were until John. You're not under the law. I am not Moses. This is not a temple. You don't offer sacrifices, except for, you know, there are references to like sacrifices of praise, but we don't actually offer anything to the Lord that qualifies as a sacrifice. We ought to be offering Him things that qualify as love offerings. See? And so when you give money, if it's 10% or not, whatever God has led you to give, I want you to give because you love Jesus and you want to give to His work. And that's why we have a box and we don't pass the offering plate so I can watch and see who's giving. Have some nice little arrangement being played or someone singing and the pastor's sitting up in the big chair on the stage. You've seen it, right? And they stand up there and they try to act like they're not looking. And they're looking. Yeah. The law and the prophets were until John. And so we're not under that kind of system. Jesus acts as a bridge from law to the gospel of grace. Amen. Jesus is the bridge between living under that system of works and now where you don't worship by works of the law, you worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen. Big difference. The next prophets. This is important for you to understand. John was the last prophet in the Old Testament. The next prophets under Mosaic law will be the 144,000 and the two witnesses in Revelation. And we don't have any copies of this at the moment. I need to make some copies of this. Most of you have seen this. It's available for free download on our website. Daniel 70 a week. And you see, his 70 weeks spans from the blue arrows, but in the middle of there, about two-thirds of the way on the chart, but actually it's 69th week ends, and you're in that little yellow section there. That's the dispensation of the gospel of grace. That is where you are. We're in a parentheses, and the parentheses, we could say, kind of like this long on a history chart. But in the eyes of the Old Testament prophets, they present it like this. They jump. They don't talk about this. The only thing they do talk about is how that the Gentiles have seen a great light and that sort of thing. They don't talk in terms of 2,000 years. But that's how close in prophecy times, that's how close it is. And that 70th week then will be the last 7 years of Mosaic Law. Mosaic Law comes back into play. So John the Baptist lived in the 69th. The 144,000 and two witnesses are in the 70th week. And you and I are the parenthesis. That's why, again, John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Jesus put it this way in John 6:32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That's why it's so insane when you hear these guys say, well, they're saved in the Old Testament the same way they're saved in the New Testament. It's beyond ridiculous. Right there it tells you, you couldn't have been. Because Moses hadn't given them that bread, and Jesus says, He is the bread of life, and you couldn't be saved the same way. And so, that's the kind of thing that the majority of Christians, I believe they're Christians, they're going to be in heaven, and when they get there, they're going to realize how silly it was Amen. To preach that nonsense.
Amen.
And you cannot understand the Gospels if you do not keep these things in mind. You read the Gospels and you'll add Acts, and you'll be as confused as imaginable. So again, it begins verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, this biblical procedure originated before Mosaic law. Some people mistakenly say that circumcision was only enforced under the law, and that's not the case. Turn over to Genesis 17. Now, it's not a mistake to say that circumcision was under the law. We'll see that in a second. But when it comes to the origin of circumcision, it began in Genesis 17. And beginning in verse 9, I'll read, And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Read verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. So this is 1,000 years before Moses and the offspring of Abraham, and later we see Isaac and Jacob are all commanded to be circumcised. And look what it says in verse 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So it's a part of the Abrahamic covenant, which was also part of the Mosaic covenant. And it's kind of like this. America has a constitution, but before the Constitution were the Articles of Confederation, and if those articles were repeated in the Constitution, then they predated the Constitution, but they're still part of the Constitution. See? Amen? And then later came the Bill of Rights, 1789, I think it was, when they finally ratified that. And that became part of the Constitution. And since then, there have been amendments to the Constitution. Well, the Bible works exactly like that. And so you've got to be careful. There are some things that are repeated from one dispensation to the other, but there are others that are not. We talked about the Sabbath. I love Chick-fil-A having Sunday off, but if they teach that it's a Christian Sabbath, it's false doctrine. The Presbyterians, for example, call Sunday the Christian Sabbath, and that's false doctrine. Is it good to take Sunday off? Yes. The Sabbath, whether it's a Saturday or Sunday, I believe is a principle. It began at creation, and it's going to continue through the millennium. But is it a law? No, it's not law in this dispensation. But is it a good idea? All who have a job say amen.
Amen.
You get burned out 7 days a week without a day off. It's a great principle of Scripture to take a day off. You see how that works? And you just got to use your common sense, rightly dividing. We continue reading. It says in verse 12, And he that is 8 days old, and we talked about this 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm not going to rehash all this, but that's the big problem with circumcision today is, number one, I hope you don't think there's anything religious about it. It's a health and hygiene matter now. But I do believe if you're going to do it, I think it's best to do it the way the Bible says. But yet, you have to fight your doctor and your hospital and your insurance company to do it right. So that's a problem. And it says, 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. Now read verse 13 again. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So this is for the Jews a sign to the world. It is something that all Jews under the Abrahamic and Mosaic covenant should have done. But I think when the 144,000 chosen and marked, sealed in the book of Revelation, it might be that all of them have to be circumcised. It might be. It's just something I've been kind of watching for any more hints in that. Because there's a lot of DNA genetic Jews today who aren't being circumcised. There's some who have done this thing where they pinprick instead of actually cutting the foreskin and that kind of thing going on. And so, because modern Judaism, I love the Jews, I love Israel, but it's just a fact that they make their religion up. What's called Judaism today is just not Bible. And when you hear that stuff, don't be impressed. So before being given the law, which, by the way, you'll read as you go through your Bible, it happens in Exodus 20, and we've been uploading studies on that recently, office studies. This happened to Moses in Exodus 4:25. Says, then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So that's because Moses had failed. Moses had failed to circumcise his son. I'm supposing this is Gershom because I think Eliezer came on a little later. Do not do this at home. And we talked about before, whether you or your children, grandchildren, whatever, have get circumcision is between you and the Lord now. It's not a matter of Christian doctrine or faith, and we certainly don't want you to think it helps you get saved or anything like that. But just don't go off the deep end like all these nuts that are running around saying, it's barbaric, and that kind of stuff, because then you're actually insulting God. God established this, and as we're reading the text, Jesus was circumcised, and I don't think God would have Jesus do something barbaric to his body. So then Moses repeats this commandment under the law, and it explains our text. So we want to read Leviticus 12 because this is a commentary on our text. We've established that circumcision predated the Mosaic law, but was included in the Mosaic law in Leviticus chapter 12, one of the shortest chapters in the Bible. And it directly relates to our text we're reading this morning. So let's read all eight verses, and you join me with the even. Verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Wait a minute.
Not there yet.
All right, sorry. I thought I didn't hear any crinkling papers. Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Read the even number with me. I'll give you a second to get there. This is where I need the Jeopardy music to play. Filler. All right. Again, verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation of her infirmity shall she be unclean. Verse 3, and in the eighth day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first.